Psalms, chapter number 56. We're going to read the whole chapter. There's only 13 verses. And so we're going to read Psalms chapter number 56. And let's begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 13. I'll give you just a moment to find that in your Bible. And we'll just remind you, we do not have services tonight at church. But our Wednesday night service, we are in the book of Judges. And we've been enjoying preaching through and talking about the different judges on Wednesday night. That's been a help. It's been an encouragement in my life. I've got some personal help from it, and I hope others have as well. So just to remind you about that. But Psalms chapter 56, we're going to start reading. I'm actually going to read the title to that. It said, "To the chief musician upon Jonath-Elam Rikakim," I think is how you would pronounce that, "Mitchum of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In Thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank You for all the blessings You've given to us. And we certainly do want to remember all those that are sick, as we have a lot out of church today. And a lot of sickness going around. I pray for Your help, Your healing touching hand. But Lord, most of all, we come today just asking that You would speak to our hearts from Your word. I pray You'd give liberty. I pray, Lord, that nothing would hinder in the service today in the preaching of Thy word. I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that You would help us this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there'd be one here today that's lost and never been saved, I pray You'd show them their great need of salvation. I pray You'd help us in our personal lives today from Your word. We'll thank You for all that You do. Please have Your way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. I'm really just going to deal with one verse this morning. I'll read a couple of the other verses surrounding it, but I'm going to deal out of what's probably the shortest verse in this chapter, and it's verse number 3. I want us to go back and read verse number 3 one more time, and I hope you'll have it memorized by the time we get done. Look what David said. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." And I want to point out, I want you to underline, if you mark in your Bible, look what David said. And we say this sometimes, three little words there, but they have a big impact on us. David said this. He said, "I am afraid." David was not a little boy. He was not a little boy that had woke up from a bad dream and his dad or his mom comes into his room and he tells him what he's been dreaming about or what scared him in his sleep. David's not a little boy saying, "I am afraid." David is a grown man. David's had a lot of experiences in his life by this point. If we go back in the title, it said that this was written by David when the Philistines took him in Gath. So
It's before he became king, but it's after he has the point in his life where he killed the giant, slew Goliath, and all of those things. And so David's had some experiences in battle. David's had some scary times in his life, but he's not a young boy. He's not a young man anymore. He's on in his life just a little bit. Probably in his 20s, somewhere around in there would be my guess if I was trying to guess what time period this was in his life. But he said that he said there in verse number 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And I would ask you the question this morning, have you ever been afraid? You know, if we said we have never been afraid, we'd probably be lying today. Now, we've all been afraid at different times in our lives. Maybe you're afraid today. Maybe this past week something has happened or come up in your life that's made you be afraid of something. Or maybe something's going on right now that has caused you to have anxiety and fear in your life. Or maybe there's something in the week ahead or month ahead or maybe even years down the road you look at and you begin to think about that thing and it makes you to be afraid. The Bible has a great deal to say about fear and about being afraid. Just the word fear and the variations of that, feared, fearful, all those kinds of words are over 500 times in the Bible you find that word fear, fearful, feared. Afraid, almost 200 times or 200 verses in the Bible, you would find the word afraid in the Bible. And I want us to study today or look today in Psalms chapter number 56 about David and what he did when he was afraid and what he said about being afraid. And I hope it'll be a help to us today. There's four things I want to point out in this verse and in this chapter about being afraid. And that would be my title today. I would just call it this, I am afraid. So let's look at this today and just think about what David is talking about here. First of all, it's interesting to me. There is the telling of fear. The telling of fear. David said this, "What time I am afraid." We've all heard people before that, you know, they want to make you think that they're not afraid of anything. And they might even say that. They might say, "I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of this," or "I'm not afraid of that." Or sometimes we look at other people and we think that they're very courageous. And we might say about them, "Why, they're not afraid of anybody. They're not afraid of anything." But what I notice about David here, I would think that David would be that kind of person. Look at all the things up to this point in his life that David has already accomplished. Things that we might look at David and say, "Man, David was a man. He wasn't afraid of anything." Do you remember before he fought Goliath what he said to Saul? When Saul questioned him about going up to fight this great big giant, and David told Saul, he said, "Why, King Saul, I have killed a bear and I've killed a lion with my own hands." Boy, young David, I mean, you think about somebody that, man, he's not afraid of anything. I don't know anybody that's killed a lion or a bear with their own hands. But David's out there, probably not very many other people around, and a lion comes into the flock and a bear comes into the flock and little old David runs out. Man, you talk about a great story. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. And then he comes up and this big giant is out here, the Philistines, and nobody in the whole army is willing to go out there. And I mean, Goliath is coming down day after day and he's challenging the men of Israel, and this great army is out there. And none of the men in that army is going to stand up and say, "I'll go out there and fight that giant." But here comes David along and David says, "I'll go and fight him." When I think about David, I think about somebody that I don't think he was afraid of anybody. I don't think David in his life was afraid of anything. But here in Psalms chapter number 56, there is a time in David's life. And he's telling all the world, it doesn't matter to him who hears it. He says, I am afraid. The telling of fear. Fear is really a fact of life. And just because we admit that we're afraid, it does not mean that we do not have courage, and it does not mean that we do not have faith. If you study chapter number 56, what you'll find is in the same chapter, in the same mind, and in the same heart, we find fear and faith together. So it's not saying when we're afraid that we don't have faith in God. It's not saying that we're cowards by any means. David had both of these emotions going on in his life at the same time. And so it helps us today to see that David told it. That's what we find in verse number 3. There is fear. What time I am afraid. But then he says, I will trust in thee. He had fear and he had faith at the same time. David did not deny having fear. Now we do that a lot of times. David could have done that. David could have he could have put on the face of oh no, I'm not afraid of the Philistines. I take it from the title to chapter number 56 that he had been captured by the Philistines, that he was in a predicament that he could not easily get out of, and he didn't know what was going to happen to him. I mean, these people hate him, and they've got it out for him, but he didn't deny that he was afraid. He didn't say, oh, no, I'm not afraid. We do that a lot of times. Are you afraid? Oh, no. But down deep in our heart, we really are. He didn't deny it. He didn't ignore the fact that it was there. He had a real fear that was going on in his life. He didn't downplay it. He didn't say, oh, that doesn't bother me or anything like that. But David, King David, or about to be King David, David the warrior, David the great man of renown that's killed the giant and the lion and the bear and all these things, David of all men says, I am afraid. And so that ought to help us this morning in our lives. Sometimes in our lives, we're going to be afraid. There's the telling of fear. But I look in this verse again and I see there's something else. There is the timing of fear. Now, notice what he says. He says, what time I am afraid. Now, David was afraid here, but David was not afraid all the time. And I do not believe it's the Lord's will for us to go around being afraid all the time. There are times, though, that fear comes in our life. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if we in our lives, if we are afraid all the time, that's an indication that there's something wrong in our life. If we're afraid all of the time, and it's not God's will for us to be afraid all of the time. You've got to realize there's a difference between those two things. Fear will come from time to time in our lives. And there's many times nothing we can do about that. But if we are afraid all the time, now I'm telling you, that's not from the Lord. And there could be a few things that are going on. It might be, if somebody's afraid all the time, have you ever thought about this? You might be lost. Before Kim got saved, my wife, we were living in England. We were going to a good church. She's a Sunday school teacher. We were very, very involved in church. We went all the time. But she, more and more, as God began to convict and work on her heart, she was afraid. She was afraid whenever a group of Christians would get together and they would talk about the Bible. We would talk about dying, or a lot of times at that time in our lives, our preacher preached on the Lord coming all the time. Seemed like every other Sunday he was preaching on the Lord coming. We get together after church sometimes, just people from church, and we'd talk about the rapture. We'd talk about the Lord coming. And Kim testified, and she said, that ought to comfort me, but that scares me. The coming of the Lord should not scare us. It ought to excite us. That is our blessed hope. If the coming of the Lord scares you, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And God used that to convict her heart and show her she was lost. If the thought of dying, now none of us wants to die, and it's easy to sit here this morning and say, well, I'm not afraid to die, but now if you's about to die, you might get a little afraid. But if you are just scared at the thought of dying all the time, you might be lost. Have you ever thought about that? It is very, very possible that in a church full of people that have come of their own free will, that maybe you're involved in church, maybe you are, maybe you know everything there is to know about what goes on in church, but you just come to church doesn't make you saved. Being born again by the Spirit of God makes a person saved. And there ought to be in all of our lives a time and a place we can go back to and say, there is where the Lord saved me. And if you're saved, you ought not to fear dying. You ought not to fear the coming of the Lord. You ought not to fear all the time. It could be a lack of faith in your life that would make you afraid all the time. There's a lot of things, but God has not given us a spirit of fear. That is not from the Lord. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, David's fear was not a constant fear, but he did have fear. He said, what time I am afraid. Fear, I mean, you can be going along in your life and everything is fine, and fear can come just all of a sudden. Can just come out of what we might say, fear just comes out of nowhere. Have you ever found a lump or a bump or a cough or a hitch or a health scare? We hear about stuff all the time. I just don't feel right. And then you get to thinking about, well, I heard about this person or that person. And, have you ever been going along and your heart flutters? Oh, am I having a heart attack? Have I got cancer? Fear. Fear can come, and it doesn't have to be being a captured by an enemy, but all kinds of things can happen in our lives. Just all of a sudden, maybe you lose your job. Maybe you have a financial crisis comes up. Maybe there's something going on in your family and with your children, and it puts fear in your heart about them and their future. And fear can come just from all kinds of directions. And it can come all of a sudden like a sunny day, and then all of a sudden the sky turns black and the clouds roll in and hide the sun. Do you know fear in our life can roll in and hide the son in our lives? I mean, we're all, if you've not had this happen to you yet, it will happen to you in this life. You will get a phone call from somebody and you can immediately tell that something bad's wrong. What time I am afraid. All of us are going to experience that. All of us probably are going to experience times of sickness, and we're going to experience times of all kinds of difficulties in our lives. The timing of fear, it is going to come in our lives. It does come from time to time. What do we do about it? Here's what David did about it. He said, what time I am afraid. When it does come, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid. There's the timing of fear. I want to point something else out before I go on. There is the tuning of fear. And what I mean by that, tuning into what kind of fear am I actually experiencing in my life right now? What I mean by that is this: fear is not one size fits all. There's not just one kind of fear, but fear comes in all shapes and sizes. Fear comes from all different areas of our lives, and when it does come in our lives, what time it comes in our lives, we need to be able to look at fear. We need to be able to recognize it and where it's coming from, so that we can deal with it from the Word of God. And so we need to be in tune to what kind of fear it is. For example, there's all kinds of fear can come into our lives. There is real fear, but imagined fear. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? How can something be real but be imaginary? You know, it's not really there. Those of you that are parents, has your child ever woken up in the middle of the night or maybe right before bedtime? And they call you to the bedside and you're getting ready to say goodnight, and they say, "Daddy, I'm afraid. I'm afraid there's a monster in my closet. I'm afraid there's something under the bed." Or I'll tell it for Daddy does. When I was a little boy, he says that I used to say, "Daddy, will the dinosaurs get me?" We used to watch Land of the Lost. Some of you remember that? I mean, the Schleich stacks and all that. That was a scary show. I don't know if that's where that come from or what, but I was afraid of dinosaurs. Now, my fear and a child's fear, it's real. I mean, they're really afraid. But they're afraid of nothing. There's no monster in the closet. There's nobody, nothing under the bed. The dinosaurs are not going to get them. You know, they are really, really afraid. But it's just over nothing, absolutely nothing. There's nothing to be afraid of there. Now, that kind of fear is a real fear. But it's just a imaginary fear. And it's something that we might find in a child, although sometimes we as adults, we make up things in our mind. Well, what if this happens and what if that happens? There's real and imagined fear. And when we as adults begin to fret over what if this happens and what if that happens, I would call that an unnecessary fear. There's a lot of times in our lives we are afraid, and it's unnecessary to be afraid. Sort of like if you were afraid all the time of being struck by lightning. If every time the sky got black, if every time you heard it thunder, if you were afraid of being struck by lightning, that is a unnecessary fear. I mean, it might happen, but it's probably not going to happen. But if you're afraid of it all the time, it's unnecessary. And actually what that is, you're just worrying. Just worry. A lot of times that's exactly what we do. We just worry about stuff that actually it's unnecessary to worry about. If you are going to get struck by lightning, there's nothing you can do about it. If you're going to get hit by a car, I mean, here's what you do when your children say there's a monster in the closet. You say, "Oh no, there's no monster in the closet. If you really want to worry about something, you ought to be worried about the house burning down while you're asleep." See, that'll get their mind off of that. You see, some things are imaginary, some things are real. But we don't want our children going to bed every night worrying about if the house is going to catch on fire or if a burglar is going to break in. Some of you be mad at me tonight. You know, just as some things, it's just unnecessary to worry about. Yeah, anything could happen. But is it God's will for us to go through life worrying about, "Oh, what if this and what if that?" It's unnecessary. It does not add anything. It does not help anything. I'll tell you a little story on Abigail when she was little. When she was little, she was scared to death of storms. I mean, it could just start to look like it was going to rain. And here she'd come. Is it going to storm? It could thunder, and she just about has a fit. And she's probably, I don't know, Kim could tell probably exactly the month and date. And, you know, she was 18 or 19, I don't know. She's a lot younger than that. When she was a little girl, and we used to calm her fears. I mean, we tried everything. There's nothing to worry about. We're in the house, and we're safe. And, I mean, it just scared her to death. And the funny thing about that is her room, see, we live in my grandpa Greer and grandmother Greer's house. When they were building that house, and they had the block laid up for the basement, and maybe even up a little bit higher than that, the house was struck by lightning, and it ran in and hit the corner where she slept every night and knocked the wall down. And I remember black and white pictures of the block being laid over in the basement. And so I always told Kim, I said, if she really knew. And I thought about telling her and saying, your room's already been hit by lightning, and lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. I don't think that would have helped anything. But there's some things in life that we just are afraid of, and it is unnecessary to be afraid of those things. It's actually just worrying over nothing. There's unnecessary fear. There is good fear. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible tells us over there that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's such thing as a good fear in our lives. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says. There is a fear of condemnation, of conviction. The first time you find the word afraid in the Bible, it was Adam. And Adam and Eve had sinned against God. And when they sinned against the Lord and the Lord came into the garden where they were, Adam ran and he hid from the Lord. The Lord said, why did you hide? And Adam said, we were afraid. I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. And you know, there is a fear of the Lord that actually does a good work in our heart, and it drives us to God. But then, see, there was hope for Adam. But over in the book of Romans, chapter number 3, there's a group of people that have no fear and there's no hope for them. The Bible said in Romans 3 and 18, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Well, now that's bad shape to be in. People out here in the world, and there's a lot of that, they say they're not afraid of anything. They're not even afraid of the Lord. So there's all kinds of fear. And when we come back to Psalms chapter number 56, we find that David's fear, it was a justified fear. And what I mean by that is this, it was a justified fear. There was a real threat in his life. There was a real enemy that he was surrounded by. Look at verse 5 and verse number 6. David said this, every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. David had a real reason to be fearful. These men wanted to kill him. They wanted to do him harm. They were trying to lay a trap for him. They were trying to set him up. So what I'm saying this morning, we need to identify and tune into just what kind of fear is this? Am I experiencing? Is this something I really need to be afraid of, or am I just worrying unnecessarily? Is this a fear in my life because God is trying to get my attention and bring me to himself? Or is this really, this is a real problem in my life. I've really got something going on. And I need the Lord to help. There's the tuning in of fear. What kind of fear is it? And last of all, this morning, I'll show you a few things about this. Once we identify the fear and what kind it is, then we can go on to this. The taming of fear. And here's what David said. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. the taming of fear. What does David say about it? What does David do about it? David says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Now here's the beautiful thing about verse number 3. It's very short. It's very, very simple. But this little thing, this little antidote, we might say, David gives us concerning fear, it works no matter what kind of fear it is. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What do you tell your children when they're afraid and can't go to sleep? When they're afraid of storms? When they're afraid of whatever the case might be? What do we tell them? We just need to trust in the Lord. Yeah, there's a storm coming, but you know, God knows where we are. And we really are safe in our house, and we don't have anything to worry about. And yeah, bad things do happen, but you know what? The Lord knows. We're just going to trust in Him. What about those other fears that we have? You know, what's this lump? What's this bump? What is this? What's going on in my life? I don't know. I can't do anything about it. What am I going to do? I'll make a doctor's appointment, and I'm just going to trust in the Lord. Yeah, I'm concerned about it, but I'll just have to trust in the Lord. It works for that. What about the other things? What about the real enemies? What about the real problems that are out there? What time I'm afraid, David said, I will trust in thee. Trust. The key word there is trust. And we sang that song this morning, Living by Faith. And we sang some other songs right along these lines today. Sort of like maybe the Lord was trying to get our attention focused on this. David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Trust implies at least three things when we think about trust and really putting our trust in the Lord. Trust implies that we have a knowledge of the thee. Now there's a lot of people in the world talk about God, but they have no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a religion in general, and they might be talking about the Son. They might be talking about, you know, you hear this, my higher power, the man upstairs, and some people believe that nature is God. And I mean, there's all kinds of. But I'm talking about the God of the Bible. I'm talking about a personal creator God that sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee, the real God, the only God, that there is a knowledge of the living, sustaining God. When Adam was afraid, it made him run away and hide from God. When David was afraid, he ran to God. See the difference there? Adam ran and hid until he got saved. But David, he was a child of the Lord. When he was afraid, he knew exactly where to go. He ran and he hid in the Lord, with the Lord. Proverbs 18 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I'm glad when fear comes in our life, I know where I can go to have those fears tamed in my heart. I can go to Him. I know Him. If you're saved by the grace of God, you know Him. You have a personal relationship. It's not just words. It's not just something like a child's favorite blanket that makes them feel better, but there's really no power in that. I'm not talking about just being religious. I'm talking about having a real relationship with the Lord. I know Him. I can trust Him. He's real in my life. He's proven Himself in my life over and over again. I have a knowledge of Him. Look what David said in verse 4. He said, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Do you see how quickly David went from I am afraid to I will not fear? When he put his trust in the right place, it immediately alleviated his fears. He said, I am afraid, but I will not fear. Well, that took effect quicker than a pill, didn't it? I mean, just like that. He said, I'm afraid, but I'm going to praise God. I'm going to put my trust in him, and I'm not going to be afraid what man can do unto me. Knowledge of the Lord. Do we have a real knowledge of the Lord? Look on down. He said this, confidence. Not only does trust imply knowledge, but trust implies a confidence. He said in verse number 3, he said, I will trust in thee. That's confidence. Look over in verse number 9 what he said. I don't know that I'd ever really got a hold of this till yesterday, and I was studying. And in verse number 9, he's praying. In verse number 9, he says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. This is confidence we're talking about. For God is for me. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? Well, that's a good one to underline right there. For God is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? If the Lord is on our side, we're in the majority, aren't we? And David had a knowledge of this. David had confidence in this. He's praying and he said, when I pray that God will turn the enemies back, this I know, for God is for me. Hey, God's not against us. God is for us. He is for our being saved. He is for us having an abundant life. He desires the best for us. Just like as parents, we desire the best for our children. We're for our children. God is for us. He is on our side. The Bible said in 1 John 5 and 13 and 14, it's talking about prayer over there. And the Bible said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Boy, you can have confidence in the Lord. Man will let you down big time. Doctors don't know everything. I'm glad for what they know, and I'm glad for their assistance in our lives, but I'm glad there's one can overrule what the doctor says. I'm glad there's one can overrule what the authority, the government says. I've got a prayer letter. I'm going to share it Wednesday night. Brother Lamar Whittemore, he was praising the Lord in his prayer letter. They've been trying for a long time to get their radio station, the power increased. And he wrote in the letter and he said, we got our power increase. And he said, the best thing is, I can't even tell you how it happened, but the Lord did it. He said, we've tried everything to get it done and now it's done. And he said, I don't even know how it happened. The Lord done it. Well, wouldn't that be a blessing? You try and go in one day, turn the power on, and hey, guess what? We're reaching four times, five times, whatever it is, what we were before. The Lord. If we ask anything, boy, we can have confidence in Him. Trust implies knowledge. Trust implies confidence. We have faith in the Lord. And trust implies determination. David said this in verse number 3. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. He didn't say, I might trust in the Lord. I'm going to give Him a try. He said, I will trust in Thee. That's determination. There's no doubt in what David says here in verse number 3. There's no uncertainty in his words. Look over at verse 10 and 11 what the Bible says. After he said, God is for me, he said, in God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. And he says it again, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. His fear went away. He said, I will not fear. I'm not afraid anymore. The Lord has tamed my fears. I will put my trust in Him. There's no doubt there. But trust only works when we listen to what God's Word has to say. Don't say, I'll trust in the Lord and go out and do exactly what His Word says not to do or that we should do. David said there in verse number 10, two times he said, I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. It's amazing how proper use of God's word will alleviate your fears. Have you ever been afraid and just got in the word of God until you wasn't afraid anymore? I believe that's what David said. He said, I'm not going to be afraid what man can do unto me. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise God in his word. I'm going to praise the Lord in his word. Praise will help you as well. Trust. He said in verse number 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And in closing this morning, I'll ask you again what I asked at the beginning. Are you afraid today? Boy, fear is a real thing. What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen if this and if that and all of that? And I'll be honest, I'll tell you, being a pastor, sometimes you feel like one of the most helpless people in the whole wide world. Because there's a lot of problems that people have. And about all I can do is say, I don't know what to tell you. We're just going to have to trust the Lord. Now, is that bad news or is that good news? We say it sometimes like it's bad news. Well, we're just going to have to pray about it. When we get to the place where we can't do anything else about it, that's actually a really good place to be at. God's going to have to do something. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. That'll work at the doctor's office. That'll work down at the funeral home. That'll work at your home. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm glad.